about really, well, the majority of it, talk about the day of the Lord, what's up and coming, the prophet Isaiah prophesying about the great tribulation period. Chapter 5, we read that parable, the vineyard. Maybe Jason will pick up on that next week. I don't know. But this morning, you know, Isaiah, I don't know how much Jason covered last week, but Isaiah is a book. It's a great book. Isaiah is, you know, one of my favorite prophets. And it's got 66 chapters, and it's kind of comprised like the Bible, people say. You know, in the first 39 chapters, kind of similar to the Old Testament of the Bible. And then the 27 chapters at the end of the book kind of bring forth, you know, hope and a positive. It turns kind of into a more encouragement letter or book message. But this morning, beginning in chapter 2, look in verse 1. The word, this is the, you know, continue with the leg of the prophecy, and this section of prophecy, his prophecy goes through chapter 4. But the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, directed to Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Again, let's pray. Lord, as we continue through your word, you know how much we need you, Lord. We do ask that you open our eyes and our ears and our heart for your word to us personally, Lord. For your spirit to be comfortable in our lives, changing us, transforming us into your image. Lord, that you direct and guide and protect and care. We look to you to override us in spite of ourselves, Lord. We look to you to pour out your spirit and your grace upon us for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah begins in chapter 2, the section we read. And he's before he really gets into the great and terrible day of the Lord, he talks about God's future, a glimpse of the future, and a time when, man, things are going to be different than they are now. The temple of the Lord will be established, the Bible says, exalted. Many people, nations will flow to it. It's going to be like a traffic flow, current, a spiritual current upon the earth, constant. Whew. Hey, man, let's go to the temple. It's going to be a heart change different toward God. God's going to be exalted, recognized for who he is, worshiped, pursued by man, and followed with the attitude we read this morning, you know, the right attitude. Let's go to the temple. Let's go. Let's go to church. He will teach us his ways, you know, with a heart to learn, teachable. Teach me, Lord. We will walk in his ways with a heart to obey him. This, you know, glimpse of the future when the temple, God's temple, is established and he's exalted upon the earth. Hey, let's go to the temple, man. Let's learn of him. Their heart attitude. Who? Learn of who? Jesus. Jesus will teach them. Man, let us learn from Him. His way. His word. His law. You know, and it really, you know, shows forth in the future, the glory days. Many people will be flowing to the temple. Verse 2, it says, in the latter days, really speaking of the millennial kingdom age, when Christ sets up His kingdom, He'll reign upon the earth for 1,000 years, the Bible teaches. And it gives us just this little glimpse of what's going to happen. Man, this positive ideal, God's ideal. It's God's plan, God's will, God's way. Where people, you know, the Bible says, in them days there will be many volunteers. You know, try to do something today, you know, and get people to, you know, get involved for the cause of Christ. You don't have a whole lot of volunteers. There's not a whole lot of heartfelt, obedient, willing, you know, desire in man for Christ. And yet, in that day, He gives us this little picture, and oh, there'll be this current. I mean, you're going to be swept into this spiritual current. Hey, let's go to the temple. Many nations will go there. Jesus will teach. In verse 4, chapter 2, the Bible says, He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. The Bible tells us of His reign, that He's going to set up His throne upon the earth, and He's going to settle, you know, international matters. He's going to rule and reign over the earth. Jesus is. He's going to be positioned in a place on a throne, exalted above the earth, here on earth. This little glimpse of the future, when the King will rule, there'll be peace internationally. And under His rule, the Bible talks about, you know, how they will beat their swords into plowshares. It's not going to be a time of war, nor of military. Pastor Chuck always talks about the military budget. If we took the military budget and all the money we spend, you know, towards defense, and we used it for, you know, food, we'd have enough food to feed the earth. But at that time, there won't be a military budget because there won't be a need for a military budget. Jesus is going to reign, and His reign, under His reign, there'll be peace, settling the problems on the earth. But a military budget will be dedicated totally to agriculture. There'll be plenty for all. In verse 5, a little exhortation. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. You know, given the future plan, or the ideal of God's, you know, plan, or God's ideal, this is what's happening. This is what's going to take place. This is God's plan for the ages. He's going to set up His kingdom upon earth and reign. Given the future and God's plan, hey, let us walk in the light of the Lord. It's really the exit, kind of bringing us back to the present. Hey, let's walk into the light. Let's walk currently, presently, in the light of the Lord, in the light of His future plan, the light of the celestial city, the light of His word, the light of His presence. Let's live in His light, for He's coming to set up His kingdom upon earth. Really is the exhortation. But then it shifts gears in chapter 2. You know, speaking presently, Isaiah, beginning in verse 6, for you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. People bow down to the idols and idol worship, and each one humbles himself. Therefore, don't forgive them, Lord. But the present condition, you know, Isaiah prophesying against the nation, against Judah. Remember, this is the word for Judah and Jerusalem. wasn't one where they were flowing to the temple nor worshiping God, nor was he exalted in their eyes or in their heart. The Bible says, you know, as he describes their present condition, that God had forsook them. They were forsaken of God. The Bible tells us that God sent the prophet to King Asa and told King Asa, you know, as long as you're with me, I'll be with you. But if you forsake me, I'll forsake you. If you serve me, I'll be with you and bless you, is God's word. But if you turn your back on me, then I'll turn my back on you, is God's word. And that's what they did. They rejected him. They were in a present state of rejecting God. Then he describes, you know, their rejection. You know, they filled themselves with Eastern ways. You know, God left them. God rejected them because they pursued other sources, spiritual sources, pagan customs, Eastern ways. You know, the Eastern pagan ways have crept itself into the church. We're to be careful. You know, what we follow, what light we walk into or in, or what source, you know, fills us. You're filled with Eastern ways from the east side of hell. Eastern ways. How, you know, they forsook God, taking on the customs of the pagans, pursuing idol worship and ways contrary to God, turning their back on God's law, and turning their back on God's worship, the sacrificial system, going to temple, doing things God's ways, turning their back on God's ways, doing things their own way, my way. How God forsook them because they forsook him. They rejected him, thus he rejected them. You know, different Eastern ways. Metaphysics is an Eastern practice. You know, it's the dangerous part of dabbling with other spiritual sources is that sometimes they work. There's power in it. And, you know, today the church is like spiritual experience driven. Hey, there's nothing happening here, man. I want something to happen. So you go somewhere where something's happening. I read a book by Tal Brook. He said the greatest spiritual experience he ever had. He's a Christian and, an author and pastor, servant, Christianity, mainline Christianity. He's big time. And yet the greatest spiritual experience he ever had was when he was sitting around a campfire with a guru, and a guru touched his head. He said in his book that he left his body 20 feet in the air. He's looking down at the camp. Automatic spiritual experience. You know, the danger of other practices, you know, creeping into the church. We leave walking in the light of God's word. He said, hey, therefore, house of Jacob, let's walk in the light of God's word. Or let's walk in the light of the Lord. Stay with him. Stay with his word. Another danger of exiting God's truth is, the experience of another source. That's what they did. They started, you know, pagan customs, filling themselves with Eastern ways. Practicing things, looking to other sources. Practice today in the church, you know, in many ways, the emerging church, you know, big movement, maybe the fastest growing movement in so-called Christianity is a movement that comes against God's word, you know, that denies the truth that's in God's word. Just like, you know, the Bible says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, the Spirit expressly says, the Bible tells us, this is a prophecy directly from the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit expressly says there's going to be a delusion among man in the end times where people are going to be going away from the truth of God. their current condition. They forsook God. God forsook them. We got to be careful, arm ourselves, be on guard, recognize what's interesting. And how do we do that? Stay in His Word. Stay with His Word. Be content with the truth of God's Word. We'll be safeguarded. We'll be protected. Satan comes against God's Word. You know, hath God said? As he attacked, you know, or deceived. Jesus says Satan's master deceiver. He still uses the same deception practices. Hath God said? Is it really what the Word of God means? Drifting from what God said. Deceiving Eve. Sin entered into the world. We fell. Same thing goes on today in our minds. Is that really what God means? Drifting from His Word. Not walking in the light of the Lord. Dangerous. Because you'll have experiences. Sin is pleasurable for a season. Spiritual experience. You know, if I was... No, I was going to say if I was Satan. No. But in truth, anybody for any cause, when they really believe in it and they get behind it, they devote their time, their energy, their resources. If you believe in something, you get into it, you get behind it, you support it. You don't think Satan does it? Satan has a plan. He's after our souls. He's coming against our souls. And he does it with his, Jesus calls, master, deceiver, father of lies, spiritual experiences, and yet not true. Not God's source, not God's Spirit. Careful to drift. He gets behind it. He gets it behind it with all his resources, his demonic, you know, energy. That's the problem. You drift and you get into something, you know, hey, you know, maybe I can just, you know, dabble a little bit away from the Word just to check it out, see what's... The problem is that he's behind it. It's demon energized. You'll experience a spiritual experience if you're after that. They filled themselves with Eastern ways. The Bible says they dabbled, they drifted, they left, they forsook, they turned away from God. Thus, God said, I forsook them. I turned from them. But describing, you know, they're pleased with the children of foreigners. Verse 5, that means they strike hands. They come into an agreement. You know, they didn't remain separate. They merged with the pagans. And really, in the context, it was for the bucks. They compromised for the money. Verse 4 and 5, you know, hey, they prospered financially. Their land is filled with silver and gold. There's no end to their treasures. And they're prosperous and abundant. Land full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. Materialism, you know, the Best Buy and Walmart. Walmarts are everywhere. I'm seeing them everywhere. And Costco's. And there's no end to their treasures and their horses and their abundance and their prosperity. But God forsook them. You know, the true condition, the true evaluation of their state was that they forsook God in their heart and turned and filled themselves with Eastern ways. As Isaiah really classifies them or describes them in their present state, forsaken of God, he explains because they forsook God. It really gives the wrong attitude, putting it mildly. In verse 9, it says that they bowed down and worshiped their idols. Don't forgive them, Lord. Don't listen to them. Don't, you know, they're in the wrong place, the wrong attitude. And, you know, and he follows their present condition after showing us a glimpse of the future, the ideal of God's, you know, truth, flowing to the temple, God exalted in his right place. Come, the exhortation is, come, let us, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord, is the exhortation that's really a smart nugget for us to follow. Stay in his light, to walk in his light. Then he shifts to the day of the Lord in verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. How he, you know, in the next couple chapters, and over, 45 times in the book of Isaiah, the day of the Lord is mentioned. The prophets speak much about the great tribulation period. And really in the context, Israel being in the great tribulation period. Daniel speaks of the great tribulation. The book of Revelation in the New Testament speaks about the great tribulation period. But how the day of the Lord, he mentions this time when God judges the earth. Man forsaking God, rejecting God, filling their selves with other sources, turning and refusing to repent to God. A time that God prepares the earth for his return. Really, the book of Revelation talks about, you know, the return of Jesus Christ and the unveiling of the, you know, God revealing himself coming back to earth before God's ideals put in place. When Jesus is enthroned during the millennial period, the thousand-yard reign of, year reign of Christ, there's going to be a judgment period spoken about many times through the prophets. And here, Isaiah tapping into, really, for the next couple chapters, the day of the Lord, a time of judgment. Three times mentioned, the terror of the Lord and of the glory of his majesty. People during the great tribulation period are going to be terrified of the Lord. God is going to punish sin, judge the earth, the Bible tells us. There's a couple things mentioned. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, wipes out man's, you know, economy first, here mentioned in chapter 3. Some things in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 3 talks about the mighty man, the man of war, God removing leaders during that period. Godly men that can lead. Godly men that would lead in the right direction. And where'd they go? In the rapture. And during a time of terror, a time of judgment, is what it's Isaiah prophesying at this time. Not only the ideal time when he says abstaining, but another time prophecy, God's judgment, really as an exhortation. You know, everything can be referenced in the book of Isaiah to chapter 1. I think it was verse 18. Jason talked about it. Come, let us reason together. You know, though your sins are like, you know, at any time, if you're filled with Eastern ways, if you turned your back on God, you can come to him and reason with him and return to him. Make things right. He's open to make things right. But here, speaking about the great day of the Lord, a great tribulation period, a time when God judges the earth. Look in verse 19. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth. Chapter 2, verse 19. From the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Trying to hide from God. The Bible talks about it over and over again. And, part of the problem today is people hiding from God. You know, I might have an area in my life that if I'm not right with the Lord, if I got an area in my heart or in my life that I'm keeping private from the Lord, I'm hiding from the Lord. I'm trying to keep something from the Lord or keep something hidden from the Lord. You know, the Bible says, hey, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. You know, the encouragement is towards the ideal of God's plan. That's, hey, his reign, his rule, his way. And us to conform and to submit and to walk in his light. Bring the areas in our heart to him in the light. But to hide something, they try to hide. You know, Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. During the great tribulation period, their deeds will be exposed. The Bible talks over and over again that the things that you keep in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. Major exposure during the great tribulation. When God judges, he'll expose. But it's a time for us to turn to the light, walk in the light, open our heart to his light, his way. You know, all of our heart. If there's any area in my heart, in my life, in my thoughts that are contrary to God's way, bring it in the light. The encouragement, hey, let us walk into the light, in the light of the Lord. Followed by the day of the Lord. The next few chapters, and over again mentioned in the prophets, this great and terrible day of the Lord coming upon the earth for the ungodly and the rebellious, the unrepentive. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. The Bible tells us in verse 2, the temple will be exalted. Verse 11, into verse 11, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. In verse 17, at the end there, the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. See, if I don't willingly conform to him, he's going to impose his position over me. And the truth is, that's what the Great Tribulation period is about. He's coming to reign. It's his position to reign in my heart, in my life. If I refuse, if I'm unrepentant, and speaking of those who filled their hearts and lives and souls spiritually, you know, with pagan customs, Eastern ways, he will bring forth his position over me or them or man forcibly by judgment, the Bible says. If you willingly don't bow your knee and submit your heart, your life to him, judgment will come for the ungodly. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, one way or another. What will be abased? In the chapter, pride, man. I was talking to a guy in the trucker's lounge here a week ago. We had a little chapel service, you know, in the TV room at the truck stop. Richard led the service. It was pretty good. I liked it. He couldn't sing very good, but... But after, you know, some guys hung around, we started talking and stuff, and one guy, I really like talking to him. He's from Czechoslovakia. He lives in Southern California, somewhere in California. Had a trucking business, had 7 trucks, lucrative business, things were going well, you know, nice house in California. Talked about his family. Economy took a turn. Sold all his trucks. Now he's a truck driver, you know, a menial truck driver. But he was talking about different things, and he was carrying on about his family and everything. And real interesting guy. You could tell he had class. He was very civil and, you know, pronounced. And then, you know, I mentioned, well, what about Christ? You know, what place in his life? What about him for your family? He says, you know, well, what I believe is wherever there's something that came from somewhere. And he starts talking about the TV in the trucker's lounge. And somebody thought about that, and they made that. And they developed and they came from man's word. He's got this scope that's like this little. But I can relate to it. I have the same thoughts sometimes. You know, it's, man, and you know, and that's why I live in my perspective is because I'm a man of reason. And everything can be traced back logically to the hands that made that TV. And I, you know, I said, well, that's exactly, if you take that argument to a higher level, where did you come from? In the intelligence of how you were made speaks of God. If we don't, you know, look, if we don't submit to God, we're trapped in a little scope of man. Man's building. They say they bowed down, they worship the things of man's own hands. And you're trapped in that. But then when you raise your focus, then you see the works of God's hands on creation. The heavens declare the majesty of God. The works of his hands. Man. The creatures. I said, you know, I was trying to talk to him. I said, you know, you speak of the things in everything. What about man? We're on earth. We're the highest form of creature on earth. Where do we come from? Why do we have right and wrong in our heads? You know, who put that there? Then, but judgment will come to those that deny him, reject him. In that day, through judgment, he will be exalted. He's going to impose a change of value. A change will be exacted by Jesus Christ upon man, upon the earth. Look at verse 20. Look at the end of verse 20. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. Oh my God, I've been deceived. What am I looking at here? The iPhone. it's dung. Throwing it to the dogs, to the mats, moles and the bats. And seeing, recognizing the true value. Raising their perspective. Not worshiping the things of man's own hands. I've been deceived. I've been duped. I got to run and hide now in a cave. I got to hide from him and the terror of him. How the change of value will be imposed, tossing, you know, silver and gold to the rats and the bats. The change, the Lord himself will be exalted. In chapter 4, notice in verse 2, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. Those who go through the Great Tribulation. But notice, it's speaking of Jesus. But it's speaking of Jesus, man, is Jesus beautiful. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to worship him in the beauty of his holiness. We're to recognize that beauty now. But man, is it going to be a striking contrast compared to the backdrop of the Great Tribulation when Jesus comes and he's glorious, illuminated. Oh, am I glad to see you. You're beautiful, man. Having gone through the Great Tribulation, for those who go through, he calls them holy. He calls them righteous. You know, speaking of the change through judgment, the Lord alone will be exalted in the appearance of Christ. In verse 4, verse 3, the survivors, they're called holy. In verse 4, they washed and purged, cleansed. They took a different route. Going through the Great Tribulation is not the way to go. You know, I used to witness to a guy, an old friend of mine, he said, hey, well, I got the plan. I already heard it. You know, when certain things take place, if I hunker down, I don't take the mark. as if he's going to make it through the Great Tribulation. You know, and if you can't serve him now, if you can't stand up for him now, submit to him now, you're not going to submit to him during the Great Tribulation. This is Jewish prophecy. They rejected Christ. They held on to the, you know, the law. But then they'll recognize that Jesus is their Messiah. And the Bible says, Jesus said, when you see these things take place, flee to the mountains. Don't take anything. And they survive somehow, some way. God provides for them. The rough way, the hard way. Then they recognize who he is. You're beautiful. In chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for over all the glory there will be a covering. And there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, from a place of refuge, from a shelter, from the storm, from rain. He's coming. And when he comes, his presence will manifest and his presence will be beautiful to those who make it through. But the application for us, you know, is to walk in the light of the Lord. Hey, seeing the future plan and ideal of God. We do. We see it. He spells it out in the scripture. He's coming to reign. His plan, you know, instead of to live in my way, let's live in his way, the plan. Let's go to temple. What does he have to say to me? Lord, you're my maker, you're my Savior, you're my Lord. What are you trying to tell me? A teachable attitude of the God's future plan. That's what's going to happen one way or another. Come, let's walk in the light of the Lord. We can have that attitude now in our heart. What are you trying to say to me, Lord? You know, whenever I fight the Lord, you know, I lose. Not only do I lose, it's miserable. You know, if you stand on something you think is right in your thoughts, in my mind, in my heart, from my past, what it wasn't fair, something happened. If you stand on it in your thoughts, it's misery until you let it go. All right, Lord, I'm sorry. Let's do it your way. Do it your way, His way. Teachable. What do you want me to do, Lord? Where do you want me to go? What are you trying to say to me, Lord? Not fighting that. Not hiding from it. Opening your heart to it. What are you trying to say to me today, Lord? Where are you? Where am I in coordinates to you? Am I turning my back on you? Lord, cleanse me. Speak to me. Give me a heart to hear from you. Teachable heart. Shape my heart. Shape my thoughts. Reroute my plan. In that day, having a teachable, how it applies to us. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Having a right attitude, let's go to temple. Let's go to church. Let's worship Him, His way. Jesus said, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Having a heart toward Him. Turn to Him. Lord, the light, the one that teaches, the one that directs, the one that rules, our Lord, Jesus, reign in me. And those that come to Him, they come to the light because they do truth. You know, no one's better than another person. The only difference one has, or advantage one has over another, is the direction they're facing. And if you're facing Him, you know, the depravity in my heart doesn't rule when I face Him. His light shines over me. It isn't Him. I mean, it isn't me. It's Him. And come, let's go to temple. Let's see what He has to teach us. What does He think He has to say for me? What are you trying to tell me to do, Lord? Where do you want me to go, Lord? I submit myself to you. A heart to be taught by Him, to serve Him, to follow Him. You know, it's like instead of my way, you know, instead of, you know, these people, they're filled with Eastern ways, filled with. You know, what's filling you? You know, His way should be what fills us. You know, I thought about this many times. Lord, what's your way? I remember that song by Peter Frampton, you know, show me the way, show me the way. And he said, pray that. Yeah, I wrote songs to the Lord, poems kind of like about, show me your hand, Lord, show me your way. But it's the same question that Philip asked Jesus, remember? Hey, Jesus, show us the way. What's the way to be filled with? Jesus said, I am the way. You know, it's interesting. You follow the way. The church in the early church was known as the way. They were filled with the way. Him. And His way, His plan. He's the one that teaches. He's the one enthroned to turn to Him, His way. But he who does the truth comes to the light, the Bible tells us. An encouragement. Hey, given really what's up and coming in Scripture, the great tribulation period, God's going to pour out His wrath. He's going to judge sin. Yes, He is. And it's going to be pretty terrible. And those that are hide themselves from the terror of God's majesty, that's an oxymoron. The terror of God's majesty, to know Him that way. But they're going to try to hide Him because they are hiding now. They're hiding now, and they're going to be hiding during judgment. But the encouragement is, hey, given that the judgment's coming, given that He's going to set up the ideal, you know, when things are going to have a different current in this earth, there's going to be a different flow. You know, you just kind of, Lord help us, walk in His light, and be willing Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, do cause us not to forsake your word, Lord, to hold fast. We look to you, Lord, to put a hedge, not to remove the hedge. Lord, we recognize that what you've done in your own heart and voice and tone, what more could I have done? Lord, we turn to you. We ask, Lord, that you cause us to trust you with our whole heart, our whole life, feelings, vulnerability, future, your plan, your way, in your hands. Lord, we thank you for your spelling out what's up and coming. The prophecy of future judgment that's coming. Prophecy that when you come to reign upon the earth, Lord, let us be those who are taught by you presently to walk in the light of you today. Lord, do fill us with your way, your word, your spirit, your love. Help us, Lord, conform, not resist. Help us submit willingly, trust you, love you, follow you. We thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, may the Lord be with you and over you. Oh, I was praying on the road. Lord, intervene. Like, overveen. You know? Be over. Override me, Lord. And me, who I am. And my feeble ideas. And my ideas of what's right. Override me, Lord. Take over. Your way, your plan, your care, your protection, your blessing, your promises for me, for you, according to his word, according to his spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.